behind the screen. There's a world of pure imagination behind the screen. There's a...
But yeah, they did. She got raped. We had to believe she got raped.
Because only hot women get raped.
On TV, that's what I want. Some of these ugly chicks get nailed.
That happens all the time on TV,
fuck
though.
That.
Old ladies and kids.
Not a fan.
Homeless people.
Not in the shows I watch. I only watch hot girls get raped.
Is that the name of the show?
Yes, it is. If I'm going to drop an omelet on somebody's face, it'd be hot chick.
Yeah, what network is that on, hot girls get raped? Or are you talking about the Kardashians? All right, hi everybody. Welcome to the Paul Goebel Show. I'm Paul Goebel, your host. We got comedy has already begun, and we made sure to stop it so we could start the show. With me, as always, is my best friend and co-host, Jim Bruce.
Hey, everybody.
With Jim, as always, is Tom Griffin.
Hello. That's all I get this week?
That's it. You all guys right. Drove over together. Now, earlier, when you guys first got here, Tom, you came to the house, and Jim stayed in the car.
Yes.
What was that about?
I don't know.
I was working some stuff out.
And how'd that go? Is it, you done? You got it?
Yeah, I feel okay.
Okay, good. Our guest today is a funny gentleman who you remember from his
hilarious... I think literally what was happening was that he was unplugging his phone, and it took him like 5 minutes to unplug his phone.
Well, that makes sense. Sure.
It was better open-ended, but go ahead and just put a comedy blanket all over it, you dipshit. What are you doing, Doc? It was much better with Theater of the Mind, when we're thinking he's in the car doing some nonsense.
That's literally what he was doing.
Who cares?
It took him 5 minutes to unplug his
phone. That's not funny. It's much funnier than sitting in the car under a dome light and we're like getting some stuff worked out. That's much funnier.
It took him 5 minutes to do something that a normal person does in 3 minutes.
That's funny if the fucking home viewer can put together whatever he was doing in the car for 5 minutes by himself.
I think if the home viewer was going to have that moment, they did.
So now it's your job to yank the fun out from under.
I don't take that away from anyone.
Tom's saying he gave them a bonus. Tom's saying they already had the image of Charlie Brown
Tom,
under the.
Nothing to you.
I'm
okay.
Good.
What's going
on?
Well.
Now, Mike, you just got off the road, or you're getting ready to go on the road, is it?
Well, I was in Denver, middle of September, 3 weeks, I'll be in Minneapolis.
In the middle of St. Rhymes with Minneapolis?
No.
Well, you're in Denver in September, you're going to be in Annapolis.
Okay, yeah, in October.
Annapolis, go to Annapolis, right?
Sir, Chicago the week after that.
Chicago, and you're going to, what rhymes with Chicago? With Iago. You're going to play Iago.
Yeah.
Now, how did it go in Denver? Did you pass out from lack of oxygen?
I did not, but my mouth was eternally dry, and everybody warned me. They scared me that I was going to be fainting and all these different things. I was going to be lightheaded. But the second I did get off the plane, my mouth dried up.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty bad.
I could
bad.
Not be without water the entire time, but I never got lightheaded or anything.
What about your eyes? Did your eyes hurt?
No, I was fine. It was fine. I was really thirsty the whole time.
Alec Baldwin was talking about filming The Cooler.
Uh-huh.
And they shot it up there, and he was like, between take, he like was just pouring.
That's his problem, because you shouldn't. Visine's a bad idea to begin with. Visine is one of those things. I understand it gets the red out, but the other thing that it gets out is your ability for your fucking eyes to take care of itself. You don't do that. Don't douche your cooch, and don't Visine your eyes.
Now, did you douche while you were there, Mike?
Do not douche your eyes.
Yeah.
Or Visine your cooch.
Well, you can douche your eyes if they smell like pussy.
I know. Oh, that's a common occurrence for me. I got to be honest.
Yeah, pink taco eye.
Yeah,
is that what they call
hey,
it?
Hey, Paul, what's with the guy whose eyes smell like fish?
Hey, Vag Eyes.
I know it's a classy show.
All right.
And you know what? I came up with that in the car. That's what I was doing.
That's here. 5 minutes.
Five minutes to come up with that. How sad.
I don't know. I see every 5 minute. I see every minute there in the bit. Well, let's talk about shows that have been canceled recently. Playboy, we all knew that was going to happen. It came and went. But Free Agents was canceled, which is a bit of a surprise, only because it's a good show. I understand nobody was watching it, and Tom says it was the best show of the new season, right?
I said it was the best comedy.
Best comedy of the new season. I disagree, but it was funny. It made me laugh.
I'm going to hijack this show right now.
What? That never happens when you're on.
I have to hijack the show. Because I have to ask a question. You're a TV expert, right?
Yes.
And you gentlemen enjoy television.
Yes.
Sure.
All right. I don't understand the business anymore of why they give a show 2 weeks and then they just yank it. Why aren't they factoring the fact that there are a million channels and a million choices and a million different things and I understand it's all a money game and things like that, but if something is quality, like Tommy is saying Free Agents was,
mm-hmm.
How do you not ride it out a little bit, because you understand that everything is spread so thin that if it's found a certain niche for its audience, eventually maybe that will grow. I don't understand the impatience, because you aren't they taking into account the fact that there is so much on television and so many choices that you can't afford to just yank something so quickly, because it has to take time to find its audience.
They're not complete. The networks are still a little bit in denial about the fact that they don't have the audience they used to, and never will again.
Especially yeah. NBC. Both these shows were on NBC. And as we all know, NBC is, you know, in the shitter. It's, you know, way behind every other network on TV. And they're desperate. I mean, that's why they renewed Whitney, because it did, you know, decent enough numbers, and the show is really cheap. So, you know, NBC, you know, free agents, they have to pay the people in England that they got the show from, and I'm sure they had to pay Hugh Hefner a big sum for the Playboy show. So,
see, but
it's not making
a
everything better.
Anyway, if we're talking about they're stuck in this mindset where they don't understand that they've lost the viewers and things like that, and now it's spread so thin. The Playboy Club. Why did you ever think that that would be a good idea? Because, and I guess there are people who don't have the internet and don't have porn and don't, just because the name Playboy connotes to me, it connotates to me that you're going to see nudity.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they were hoping to bait and switch and trick people into thinking it was going to be a sexy show or something.
Well, I think it was very sexy. I think as far as, you know, titillation and stuff, they achieved their goals, because the women on the show were very hot and the costumes were very good. And it was like, you know, maybe a classy version of porn. Obviously, there wasn't any nudity in it.
But isn't that an antiquated idea? And you're only chasing people for whom Playboy is that ideal. I mean, young people have no fucking interest in Playboy or the costumes or the clubs.
Yeah.
That's old people you're looking to draw in, and that's so antithetical to what TV's trying to do in the first place. Aren't you always trying to make TV for people who chew gum? You know what I mean? It's like, it seems strange.
In most cases, yes, but there's still, like, you know, CBS is the old lady network. You know, they have a lot of shows on for old, you know, single ladies with a million cats who sit home and watch it. You know, that's why Hawaii Five-0 is so popular.
Yeah.
And all the shit they have on Friday nights. And they thought, well, Mad Men's a little too much for some of these people. We're going to give them a lighter version of Mad Men.
Ugh. Yeah,
and I think that's what it was.
Because Mad Men really is the answer for why they made Playboy Club and Pan Am both. But
I know, but it just seemed, and they, because they passed on Mad Men. All of them, you know, passed
right.
on Mad Men.
And they're all kicking, you know, I'm sure somebody lost their job over it, at least to some network, because they passed on it. So, but then again, even if they took it, Mad Men wouldn't be the show it was
true
today.
Yeah,
it might have been canceled. Maybe they would have watered it down so much it wouldn't have succeeded.
Might have been better.
I doubt that.
I'm just saying it might have been.
It's pretty good already.
We don't know. It might have cured cancer. We don't know.
No.
There's a lot of things that could have happened.
No, I'm telling you, it definitely would not have cured cancer
if it got on the right network.
Which network?
At the right I'm going to say ABC.
That's the cancer curing network. For
yeah,
you?
That's really? What I think. I think and Mad Men. That's the
clear. Yeah, no, ABC and any other show, fuck cancer. But
no.
Mad Men on ABC,
yeah,
that unlocks all doors.
You put, like, say Breaking Bad on ABC, creates a new cancer.
Well, isn't that what ABC, isn't that what ABC stands for? Always beating cancer. And NBC stands for nothing but cancer.
Right.
All right. So yeah, I guess your story holds up. Well, and the funny thing about free agents is, you know, like,
I was in the car a long time.
Hank Azaria, you know, tried to start this Twitter campaign to save the show, and Andy Daly was telling people, hey, please watch the show because my episodes haven't aired yet, and it looks like now they never will. I even have a friend whose daughter got cast as Hank Azaria's daughter and was like, hey, keep watching because I want her episode to air because this was going to be her big thing.
Right.
And it never did. And I don't know. I find it funny. Like, I don't know if it was you who said it at poker, but Hank Azaria, like, he needs another show. He's got $1 zillion already. But I guess
I don't begrudge anybody who wants to do good work.
No,
if he
no.
thinks he's doing good work, that's fine. And he wants to keep it alive with the Twitter campaign. Because I don't think that was me. Because I don't think you should never put a cap on what money people can make. I don't give a shit.
No, but I'm
Hank Azaria's doing a good job. Give him billions of dollars.
I agree. But I find it funny. Hank Azaria, unlike pretty much everyone else on that show, he's the one guy who still is, like, interested in acting and, you know, being something other than a voiceover guy.
Yeah.
You know, Harry Shearer, Julie Kavner, she doesn't even go out of her house anymore.
Why should she? Yeah, when I saw the number
right.
they make per episode, I went, you're joking, right? I mean, it's just
exactly.
It's so
she does three. Yeah, Yeardley Smith, you know, has done some acting, and she's pulled back on that. She does one fucking voice on that show.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy. And Harry Shearer, obviously he knows, well, I can make all my money on The Simpsons and then do all this other crap I do, make this Katrina movie and do all this other stuff, do my Le Show and then that whole network. So, I don't know. I thought it was a funny show. I don't think it was super hilarious. There were funny people on it. Al Madrigal.
I was Natasha in it.
Joe Latruglio. I thought she was okay. I've seen her do better stuff. I don't blame her. It was her character was too unbelievable. She was like the bitchy secretary who wouldn't answer phones and talked back to her bosses. I hate that character.
I do too.
On every show. So I don't blame her for that, whoever's idea that was. But Joe Latruglio, I thought was really funny as the moronic security guard. And Al Madrigal was funny. And again, Al is a friend of mine.
But it's so funny when you say that. Think about the funny people that were on that show. I mean, like literally, you just named five people that are all very funny. And then the thing just tanks and just doesn't find anybody. I mean, that's so odd. So odd.
Yes, as opposed to Whitney, which, you know, I don't know any of those people on the show, and none of them are funny.
I heard D'Elia's funny.
He's the only person on the show who I even found mildly amusing. The other characters can't deliver a joke to save their lives.
The network, though, probably said it was aware that you didn't know any of them and thought that was a plus.
Really? Because the network's trying to cast people who aren't friends of mine. Are you saying that even people who associate with me are being punished by Hollywood?
I think that whole network is still mad about that Jay Leno thing.
Really?
Yeah, that day when you went in there and you said that thing. I think they're still mad.
Oh, they're mad about that, the day I was there on the Tonight
that
Show.
That one event,
really?
Has shaped the entire lineup for years.
Maybe
to come.
They need to look at themselves, though.
I agree. I think they're overreacting.
All right. And so now you're saying even people who know me are suffering because of that.
Look at me. I cut my finger today.
How'd you do that?
I'm stupid. That's the real reason.
The ghost of Brandon Tartikoff stabbed him.
Right.
Yeah, even old guys, even people coming back before I was even on the network.
Yes.
Dave Garraway is haunting
I will say this,
house.
I'm eventually going to accidentally kill myself, so I don't need to worry about the suicide thing. Well, it will handle itself. I just always cut myself. I'm always by myself. I always bleed out like a crazy amount of blood. Yeah, it was a fun day.
Great story.
I'm waiting for a payoff, but the payoff is he's going to die someday in his own hand.
I won't even have time to write a fucking note.
Well, you just bleed it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just, there you go.
Well, maybe you should carry a note around with you.
Goodbye, cruel.
I say you write a note now and just have a pen and, like, you write what could just have happened.
Leave some blanks.
Yeah.
Right. A Mad Lib?
Right. Mad Lib. Write in electrocuted or whatever it was.
Why don't we write his note now?
All right.
Let's do that.
Let's record it. And he can carry it around on a chip. all right, so those shows were canceled. That's no good. But a show that is good that premiered is Homeland.
I'm hijacking the show right now.
What? I can't believe that.
Because I don't recall this ever happening when I've been here before.
You hijacking the show?
Well, no, this is about that I'm about to ask. Do you wear the crown for every episode now, or how exactly does that work? I don't know if I'm coming on a special day, or...
Well, the last episode, viewers or listeners may remember, we talked about wigs, and there was implication that people were wearing wigs during the show, and I just wanted to wear this, so at some point someone would say, oh, a nice crown. I don't always wear the crown. Sometimes I wear a wig.
Wait, how are people going to know you're in the... Until I said nice... So it was bait. You were throwing out bait and I took it.
Absolutely.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So you think you're hijacking the show, Mike Schmidt. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Really?
I've hijacked your brain is what I've done.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Walked into it like a pie in the face.
Right? Like Johnny Marbles. So let's talk about Homeland.
Let's...
I'm the only one who watched it, but apparently some people have read about it. I think it's an awesome show, and if you're not watching it, you're foolish. You should watch it. Someone described it as 24 if Jack Bauer was maybe crazy. Like, imagine Jack Bauer doing all the shit he did, and he wasn't a CTU agent, or he had an axe to grind or something. Because the thing about 24 is you always knew he was the hero, knight in shining armor. He was like Superman. Everything he did was right and for the good. But Homeland, you know, Claire Danes' character, she's clearly nuts. She has self-diagnosed herself as being crazy. She's bipolar. She's on antipsychotics. And she almost went to prison in the first episode. And I think that's really super interesting because you don't know if she's doing the right thing or not. And same with Damian Lewis. You think, oh, maybe he is an agent. Maybe they did turn him. What did you guys hear about the show, or what do you think about it?
I heard exactly that. I heard that the lead actor, Damian Lewis, is an unbelievable role. They said he's playing it in a way that they wouldn't have imagined. They said it seemed like, the role itself would seem to be heavy-handed, like a GI who comes back from the Gulf, and then he might be a double agent for Al-Qaeda. They said you could play that broad.
Right.
And they said he prays to Allah. He has a prayer rug and stuff like that. But they said that it seems like that would be heavy-handed, but it's not. You know what I mean? It just seems like sort of his day, and it adds questions. And might I just say, Claire Danes has an amazing ass. I don't know if it's on display in the show, but...
It is at one point. Well, it's great. In the first 5 minutes of the show, Marina Baccarin is having sex with this dude, and fans of her, I include myself in that group, get to finally see her naked breasts. After all these many years of watching her on Firefly and V, we see her nude breasts, and they're incredible. But then later on in the episode, Claire Danes is in her closet putting on clothes and taking them off and stuff. And yeah, we see her ass and a little slip. It's outstanding.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And the show's very hot. And then the best scene, in my opinion, is when Damian Lewis comes home and he and basically Marina Baccarin wants to welcome him home and be sexy for him and be a good wife. And so she's like, hi. And he goes, he of course is like, holy shit, this is awesome. My wife, and she's naked, and I haven't seen a woman in years. And so he takes off his shirt, and he's just covered in scars and holes, and not just, scars, but like horrible shit all over his chest and back. And she recoils in horror, as a woman would, or as a person would. And I thought, oh boy, that's kind of a bummer. That'll ruin the mood, right? But then he's like, no, it's okay. I understand. It's okay. Don't worry. It's no big deal. Because, of course, he's trying now he's trying to console her, the dude who just got out of a closet, was living in an Al-Qaeda closet for 12 years. And so he's trying to console her. Then they get back together. Then they start to have sex. And it, of course, is this awkward, really violent sex because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's on top of her. She's clearly in pain. He's like grunting, and that's really awkward. And then on top of the whole thing, Claire Danes is watching them via a spy camera to make the whole thing incredibly weird. She's watching and listening to the entire thing play out.
Because she bugs his house.
Yes, she puts a camera and a microphone in every room in the house.
Because she suspects that he is an Al-Qaeda agent returned under the guise of...
The deal is, it starts out, she's in Iraq, and she goes to see this guy who says he has intelligence, but he's in a prison. And so she goes to see him, and... she can't get him out, but he whispers something in her ear right before they come and get him and kill him, murder him. So she's back home, and they find this dude. They're like, our soldiers raided a compound. They rescued this guy. He's coming home. And she goes, oh, shit. She goes, her boss, Mandy Patinkin, and she says, right before they killed this guy, he told me an American POW has been turned. I think it's him. So he says, well, do you have any proof? She goes, no. And he goes, okay, well, then leave it alone. Because you're already on thin ice. Apparently people know she's nuts. Leave it alone. She decides not to leave it alone. Hires two guys that she knows, just dudes, to bug his apartment. She commits a crime.
Yeah.
In the name of national security. But she does it, and she hopes she's got something. Eventually, Mandy Patinkin shows up at her house and goes, what in the fuck have you done? And tells her, get a lawyer, because you're being arrested tomorrow morning. But then she notices that anytime Damian Lewis is on camera, he's doing this thing with his hand. And she says, it's a signal. And he goes, could be. Okay. Never mind.
Oh, see, now that's where it falls apart, kind of, right?
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, she's completely violated every single law or whatever she's done.
Yes.
But then the hand signal, it saves her? I mean,
that's the thing is, it looks convincing.
Who's it a signal to?
Well, he only does it when he's on camera, in front of a big group of people at a press conference or whatever. It could be a signal. It could be some kind of Morse code.
I thought you meant when he's on spy cam. She sees
No. When he's on TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's doing it when he knows he's being watched.
Ah.
And he only does it then. So it's clearly not a spasm or a muscle thing. He's only doing it then. And Mandy Patinkin sees that and goes, okay. Because, of course, in the name of Homeland Security, you can eventually go, yeah.
Chance that he's just contacting Carol Burnett's mom?
So it's a great show. Man, too bad Tim Powers wasn't here to follow that up with some comedy. It is a great show and should be watched by everyone. Because I honestly think it's going to be the show that everybody's talking about.
All right. Well, I've heard good things.
It it really kind of challenges your, because they talk a lot about 9/11, mm-hmm. and she's like obsessed with 9/11 because she feels that she could have single-handedly stopped it. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in New York and Washington who feel that way.
Yeah.
Who feel like, fuck, if I'd only taken that call or I'd only done this one thing, it would have never happened.
If I only hadn't flown that jet into the World Trade Center.
Right. If I'd only not sat in a car for 5 minutes, I could have fucking done something about it. Right?
Huh?
All right. Let's
figure some stuff out.
Let's get to trivia for this episode. Last episode, the question was, Now, see, you're making a reference to something that has not yet happened on the show.
I'm sorry.
We're not putting that in yet.
You said you were going to insert it. I thought it would perfect place would be
not yet. No, not yet. This is the trivia question, not the trivia game.
Mike!
We'll come up later in the episode. The trivia question last week is, I made a reference to something and Jim said, what is that a reference to? It was a reference to Bobby Bittman on SCTV.
How are ya?
Nobody
got that. I would have gotten that immediately.
What I said was, Jim was talking about how much I hate commercials. And I said, especially that one with the Tidy Bowl man, the little man in the boat. You know what I like to do?
What's that?
I like to flush that man right down the toilet. That's what I'd like to do.
Yep.
And that was a Bobby Bittman joke. But nobody got it.
Let me first say, in all seriousness.
Nice. Here's the question this week. It's about Tony Head, who is on Free Agents, both versions. In an episode of Buffy, I don't know who it is, but somebody follows Giles to this bar because it turns out he's been singing, doing an open mic at this bar, him just playing guitar and singing. What is the first song he sings when they follow him there?
Oh.
I'll let you guys guess. Before Tom tries to actually make a guess.
I'm going to say a Rocket Man.
Nope, Rocket Man. That's a decent guess, though.
It is, actually.
Mike?
I'm going to say Lost in Love by Air Supply.
I like the guess, but wrong. Tom?
Ah, oh, man, I should know this, but I can't. I can picture the scene, but for some reason, the only thing I can hear is Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and I know that's not the song.
That is incorrect. Okay, so if you know the answer, write to me, Paul, at thekingoftv.com, and you will win a prize. We still got a bunch of DVDs and stickers and all kinds of horse shit to give out. I got half a salad here I'll send to you. while I'm thinking about it, you can always go to thekingoftv.com and read my blogs and see pictures of me with famous people, listen to old episodes of the show. And you can, of course, buy hilarious video content videos there at the site. Well, one for 99 cents, five for $4, or 10 for $7. Mike?
I like it.
How much would that be a piece?
Well, how much was the first one?
One for 99 cents.
So that'd be 99 cents.
Right. Five for $4.
Okay.
How much would that be a piece?
It's about 88 cents.
And if you ordered 10 for $7, how much would that be?
70 cents.
So that seems to me like that's your best bargain, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, where else are you going to get hilarious two-minute videos for 70 cents a piece?
I don't know.
No. I mean, normally you'd have to get those for free on
billions of them for free on YouTube. But
for 70 cents, I can't think of any other place.
That's a good deal.
So that's where to do it. Okay, also read the Perspectives blog that Jim and I write for and read the Conspiracy Nut that Jim writes. What is your latest topic?
I'm writing a new one this week. I wrote a new one last week.
Okay, so what's your new one going to be about?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to the staff.
Okay. Because you wrote about French predicting guy.
French predicting guy.
Fake rock in the sky.
Fake rock in the sky.
You wrote about that. What else?
Blackie the president.
Right. Blackie the president. No papers.
No papers.
Right. All right. Speaking of that, I saw Ides of March over the weekend. It's a good movie. I recommend it. All right. Let's talk about...
Hey, we always save my stories for the end. Can I insert one here? Because I know you got a good topic coming up.
I don't really, but okay.
I just want to insert. Okay, you know.
Are you hijacking this podcast?
I am hijacking this podcast and crashing it into a building and creating a national tragedy. And then eventually it'll inspire a show that you really like.
You didn't need to crash this into a building to create a national tragedy.
The show was doing that by itself.
Okay, so we've talked about this before, but this is a fresh one. You know, sometimes somebody will come up to you, like maybe they'll come up to Tom and go, "Hey, Tom, you look like the lead singer of such and such a band." Like, and you go, "Oh, I guess so," or "No way, I don't look like that person at all."
Or, "I sure do."
Right.
Right?
Or, "I sure do." Like, people will say you look like somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'll happen, like... Every now and then, somebody will have said that I look like Steve Buscemi. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. When, and like I've always said, what they're really saying is, hey, Jim, go see a dentist. That's what they're really saying.
Sure.
And how, as people have done that to you, Paul, I'm sure, who do they say you look like if that's ever happened?
The most recent one I get is Peter Griffin.
Wow.
Actually, specifically, they say, you remember that episode where Peter Griffin went to high school and put on that Fonzie wig? That's who you look like.
Lando Griffin.
Do you ever get, what do you get?
Lando Griffin, really?
What do you get?
I really don't get I look like anybody. Although when I shave, I look like Rush Limbaugh's kid.
Okay. So you look like
Lando Limbaugh.
Yes, sir.
Lando. So that's happened to me, and we've told a funny story about one time when somebody thought I looked like Scott Hamilton.
Ah, classic.
And I thought,
have you ever heard that story, Mike?
I have not. But
I'm going to tell it then.
Right. Go ahead.
Once a long time ago, we were doing a show at the Comedy Store, and a woman comes up to Jim and goes, hey, you know, I don't mean it. I'm sorry if this offends you, but you look like Scott Hamilton. Has anyone ever told you that? And Jim goes, no, why would I be offended at that? And I'm standing there thinking, because Scott Hamilton's not a good-looking guy. But Jim, I know Mary Jo, Jim's wife, loves figure skating. So I thought, okay, maybe he took it as a compliment.
Yes.
Certainly a talented guy, so fine.
Well, after years of Steve Buscemi.
Right? That's actually a step up.
Hamilton,
for sure.
Yeah, that pulls you out of the abyss.
Maybe a month later, we're down by the pool, and Jim shares that story with his wife, Mary Jo. And he goes, and she thought I'd be offended. I'm like, why would I be offended thinking I look like the guy from Star Wars? And I go, stop everything!
Or jumped off the diving board and stopped in midair.
and I Flintstoned it to the other side of the pool.
Sir.
And I said, wait a minute. She doesn't think you look like the guy from Star Wars. She thinks you look like the bald gay skater with one testicle. That's who she thinks
and
you
of
look
course,
like.
Now I'm doubly mad.
And then he goes, wait a minute, and starts shaking his fist to the sky. It was so great. So then it became like,
well,
you know,
yeah,
so, like
the bit.
So then the bit forever was, you know something, you look like a piece of shit. Oh, thank you very much. Really? You think I look like a piece of shit? You know, I loved him in Blade Runner and Witness. He was so good. No, you're thinking Harrison Ford. I think you look like actual feces.
Like excrement.
Oh, darn it!
So, yes, that's absurd. However,
it's absurd, and yet it happened.
That is absolutely.
And yet it happened.
So let me follow up. And
before
this
you do, let's consider the possibility that Scott Hamilton would have been in Star Wars. Now, it's Mark Hamill. If Scott Hamilton were Luke Skywalker, how does that affect the movie at all? Do people still, is it beloved? I mean, how does that?
Yes, it's the same fucking movie.
Really?
Nothing changes, in my opinion.
Except that some of the lightsaber battles are neat because he has a triple south power.
They're much more choreographed.
Absolutely. See, there you go.
And Darth Vader does not appeal to him that I'm his father because he's mad that he's a gay figure skater. And he's like, you know what, Emperor, honestly, take him out.
I'm not your father. I knew your father. He's a nice guy, but it's not me.
And then C-3PO doesn't seem so gay. Because Hamilton takes up the gay mantle.
Sure.
So, this story is not as fantastic as that, but it's still got its own oddity. So a woman comes up to me. Now, I'm not making this up. Now, I want you to understand something, people who listen to the show. If you've seen a picture of me ever on the web, the picture you've seen, that's what I look like. You're probably seeing the best I could look because it's a picture. I don't look good. I'm fine. I get along well. There's no reason like to lock me up or anything, but I'm not a good-looking fellow.
Gay guys like you.
A few have liked me in the past.
You found a nice woman to love you.
Yes, indeed. I found somebody. It's great. So a woman is chatting with me. I don't know this person. We're just chit-chatting in the produce aisle. And she says, you know who you look like? And I'm ready. I'm ready for her to say whatever, like, accident victim she knows or whatever. She goes, you look like a young, she uses the word young, now, this doesn't even make sense. She goes, you look like a young Brad Pitt. And I laugh. I can't help but laugh because I'm me. And I still want to go, are you fucking kidding me?
So like Brad Pitt from Johnny Suede. Or Thelma and Louise. Yeah, I can see
it. Yeah. sexy Brad Pitt at the height of his
power. Moneyball Brad Pitt, where he's like, get some work done.
Yeah, and if she would have said that, I'd have been, young. So I got to think that she's doing the reverse of the original gag. She said, I did say the word piece of shit, right?
She thinks she said a faggot or an asshole or a douchebag. But instead, it came out Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And I have nothing else for that story.
I'm about to jump on that story.
Are you hijacking my story?
I'm hijacking that story. And this it's going to be controversial.
Uh-oh.
I can see what she's saying.
Oh, that is controversial.
In profile especially. Because when you turn that way, you know why? Because it's your hair and like the shape of your head and eyes. From the front, please. I mean, you...
No. Is she talking about Brad Pitt from that episode of Growing Pains? Is that how young she's going?
But I can see it, especially from the side, the way your hair falls and stuff, and the way your eyes are shaped. I can see what she's saying.
Right. Well, lady fans of the show.
Oh boy!
I'll sort of look off to the side while I'm fucking you.
We'll put a poll on Facebook. See how many people actually think Jim looks like a young.
Actually, we'll put a poll on Facebook, and that'll look more like Brad Pitt, right?
Now you've taken a poll before, right?
Whoa! All right.
And smoked it. That was a good story. All right. Well, I think now it's time.
I'm hijacking the show
again.
I have to for 1 second.
Yeah.
I am stripping you of your title of King of TV.
What? Why? What happened? What did I do?
What did you do? You scheduled a podcast record for 7:00 p.m. on a Sunday night, when the world premiere, the final season episode of Breaking Bad, is on.
Yeah, but
I could be home watching it, right? But you took me away from it to come and record this.
You don't have a DVR?
Yes, I do, but it doesn't matter. That's a show that you need to be watching live because it's the final episode of the season of Breaking Bad's best season. And you schedule a podcast record during that time? That's like if I was a sports fan and I said, hey, we're all having a poker game during the Super Bowl. It seems odd.
Well, I think that's a stretch to compare the Super Bowl to the finale of Breaking Bad. It's not a huge stretch, but it is a small stretch. The difference is, if you are, in fact, the king of TV, you know how to watch a show without it being spoiled for you and how to watch it to where it's new for you, so you make your own schedule. I transcend TV schedules, Mike Schmidt.
I see.
I make my own TV schedule. I watch things the way I watch them, as if I were putting TV on the way it should be.
A lot of eyes in that speech.
That's the way the king talks.
Not the only person in this room, though.
Yeah.
We have three other people here who are like, wow, we wish we were watching Breaking Bad right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you're the king of TV, you schedule your podcast for whenever you want. Check and meet. And now it's time for the King of TV's Trivia Challenge. All right, welcome to the trivia competition. Our competitors today, of course, are our guest Mike Schmidt, along with Tom and Jim, and our two call-ins via Skype guest competitors. The first one calling in all the way from New Jersey City, New Jersey.
Quick question. Is the name of this show Paul's Yelling Trivia?
No, it's called Hey Jim, Interrupt Before We Can Even Get Started.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's called, Dick.
Good, I
love it how you interrupted right before I said the guy's name. you don't want to say, you don't want to interrupt as I get started or after I interrupt him, right when I'm getting to the guy's name.
Who is the king of interrupting?
The interrupter. Calling in all the way from New Jersey City, New Jersey, it's David Dickerson.
Hi there.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. What would have been really funny is actually if he had interrupted between my first and last name.
Actually, even better if he interrupted between Dick and Urson.
Ooh, you're right.
So
that would have been hard to live down.
Dave Dick.
Oh.
Everybody's a critic.
I'm glad you called on the way from Jersey City to tell us what would have been funny. Thank you, Dave.
Well, we need all the help we can get.
Oh.
And our other contestant calling in all the way from Los Angeles, California, Mr. Tim Powers.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Tim. Welcome. Now, you've been on this show before as a guest, right?
I have indeed, and I was interrupted several times, but my introduction today was not interrupted, so thanks a lot.
Okay, so now we're all even. Everyone's been interrupted appropriately, and everyone is ready to go. Everybody's ready to play?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, here's how the game works. I will read a trivia question. It's all TV trivia. The first person to say their name I will call on them, and they can answer the question. If you don't get called on, don't answer. But you say your name, you buzz in by saying your name, and then I will ask you a question. If you get it correct, you will get a follow-up question for you and you only, so you can get a second point. It's
Paul Goebel.
What?
My name, not your name.
No, you say your name.
Okay, sorry.
You're not impressing Mike Schmidt at all, Tim. All right.
That's horrible. Yeah, you would think that I would impress a Hall of Fame pitcher like that.
Impress me even less by not knowing he's a third baseman.
Nice. All right, is everybody ready to play?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay, no, here we go.
I have a point that I'm still ready.
Question number one.
But I think he's a catcher. Moving on.
Oh, my God.
Comedy works great over Skype, doesn't it?
We've proven that it doesn't many times. Question number one. Who created the shows NYPD Blue, L.A. Law?
Jim.
Yes, Jim.
Stephen Bochco.
Hey, are you looking at the screen, a-hole? Yes, that's right. Stephen Bochco is correct.
Yeah, I know, because it's a hard question. He's an idiot.
All right, Jim, here's your follow-up question you and only you.
Let's go, guys.
Which Stephen Bochco show starred Kim Delaney, Kyle Secor, and Rick Hoffman?
Cop Rock.
That's incorrect. I will throw it up. Does anybody have any answer?
It's when she was that drunk medical...
Man, I just wanted to say Cop Rock, so...
Nobody got it. All right, the answer is Philly. Philly. Took place in Philadelphia.
Really?
Mike Schmidt was a regular character.
Was he?
All right, question...
Hall of Fame pitcher Mike Schmidt?
Question number two. Now, remember, you can ring in at any time. Ozzy, Coach, Rupert, and Boston Rob all appeared on which reality show?
Jim.
Yes, Jim.
Survivor.
Survivor is correct. Jim off to a big lead.
Well, you know, I was going to go, like, literally in my head, I couldn't remember what to say.
Hey, you know, trivia is my thing, guys.
Yes. All right, Jim, follow-up question about Survivor.
All these shows are in color.
Who gave Coach the nickname Dragon Slayer?
Woody.
No. I'll throw it up for anyone. Does anybody have the answer? Jim?
Boston Rob.
Mike says Roy. Tim, what'd you say?
I didn't say anything because I never watched
Boston Rob.
It wasn't Boston Rob.
Damn.
Jeff Probst?
No.
It was Coach himself, right?
Yes, Coach gave himself that nickname. Yes.
Oh,
that's right.
Riley Coach.
Okay, question number three. Jim still lead 2-0. Who played Dr. David Banner on The Incredible...
Tim.
Yes, Bill Bixby is correct. You got to say your name to ring in. All right, Mike, this is for you and only you. Name another Bill Bixby drama and a Bill Bixby comedy.
The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
And?
Which does that count as?
I'm going to say that counts as a comedy.
Goodnight Beantown?
No, that's also a comedy.
All right, I'm out.
He's out. Does anyone have the other drama? Jim, this is right up your alley.
House?
The answer is The Magician.
Tim has a Bill Bixby alley?
The wow. Magician is the answer, so nobody got that follow-up.
Why is that up his alley?
Why is that up your alley?
Yeah, why is it up Jim's alley?
No, it's up your alley, I said.
Oh, okay.
All right, what was the... This question's about Star Trek.
Is this a true... Do we answer who's up whose alley? Is that for extra points?
Mike! That's on your podcast. What was the middle initial of James Kirk?
Mike.
Jim.
Yes, hey. Mike.
T.
T is incorrect. What was the middle initial of James Kirk in the episode Where No Man Has Gone Before?
Dave.
Jim?
Q.
Q is incorrect. Dave?
M.
M is incorrect.
No?
Huh. 23 left.
Tom?
Tom?
A?
A is incorrect.
22 left.
Tim Powers, you got a guess?
R.
R is correct.
Oh, wow.
R. Kirk is what it says on the tombstone that they show. That was in the pilot episode when they eventually changed it.
R. Also, my middle initial.
Tim T. Powers. Yeah, sure. Everybody knows that. Here's a follow-up question for you and only you, Tim Powers.
Yes.
What was the name of the silent barfly at Quark's Bar on Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Paul.
His name was not Paul.
It's Dave! Fun. I got it.
Yes, Dave?
Morn.
Morn is correct.
I'm gonna say your name.
Tom knew it, but he refused to ring in. When he got the question wrong, you know he's going to throw it out. I'm going to throw it out.
I'm serious.
Very good, Dave. You're on the board. Okay, moving on.
I'm on the board too.
Yes.
Now, haven't I missed Deep Space Nine questions in both times we've done this now?
Yeah.
I am ashamed.
So you're two for two. Here we go. What cop show did Kate Jackson star on before Charlie's Angels?
Mike. The Rookies.
The Rookies is absolutely correct. Very good.
Nice job.
All right, here's your follow-up. This could put you in the lead, Mike. Good. Who played Kate Jackson's abusive husband on an episode of Third Watch?
Michael Ankeen.
No, that is incorrect. I'll throw it up for anyone. Anyone?
Bill Bixby.
Not Bill Bixby.
Hugh Beaumont.
No, the answer is Henry Winkler.
Oh.
Wow.
He got nominated for an Emmy for that episode, I believe.
I don't even know what Third Watch is.
All right.
Strangely enough, every time he hit her, she started playing music.
All right, Tim. Well done.
You're on the board.
I'm going to give you half a point for that. Well done, sir. All right, this next category, I'm going to name two TV shows. You tell me the actor or actress who appeared on them both. Here it is. Teachers Only and Cheers.
Jim?
Yes, Jim?
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson is incorrect. Anyone else?
Tim. Dave.
Tim?
Shelley Long.
Shelley Long is incorrect.
Dave.
Dave?
George Wendt.
George Wendt is correct. Well done, Dave Dickerson. Okay. All right, Dave, this is a follow-up for you and only you. At Ease and Good Times.
Oh, Jesus.
Was that your guess?
No. I have no idea. I've never seen
Tim.
This show.
All right, Tim?
John Amos.
Not John Amos. Anyone else want to try to buzz in?
Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Yes, Jimmy Walker. Jim Bruce got it right.
That's who it has to be, right?
Renee Dubois.
And Esther Rolle.
True.
Bernadette Stannis.
Ralph Carter.
Janet Jackson,
sure. All right. This one, this next question is about spinoffs. I will name the spinoff. You tell me the show it was spun off from. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hanging In.
Jim? The Cosby Show?
No, that was a good guess, though. That was called Different World. Anyone else?
That's not a good guess. Oh, what the hell? 21 Jump Street, Dave.
No, you're thinking of Booker. Nice guess, though. Anyone else got a guess? No, the answer was The Jeffersons. That was the Carla Gibbs spinoff of The Jeffersons.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right. The follow-up will be a toss-up to anybody who wants it. Out of the Blue.
Tim.
Tim Powers.
Happy Days.
Happy Days is God correct. Damn it.
Well,
I knew
done.
That.
That was Jimmy Brogan's sitcom where he played an angel. All right. I will now, this next category is called, it's not TV. I will name a character from an HBO series. You tell me the name of the character, or the name of the show the character is on. Here we go.
I like it better when you read the character and we tell you the name of the character.
Here we go. Johnny Chase.
Jim.
Deadwood.
Mike.
Incorrect. Mike?
Entourage
is correct. Well right. done, Mike.
You're ready for me to just say Deadwood a lot.
All right, here's Mike's follow-up for Mike and Mike only. Tobias Beecher.
Oz
is correct, putting Mike into the big lead with 4 points. All right, this is our last category, so this gives Jim a chance to tie it up and or win, and Tim and Dave could tie it up. Tom could get on the board. this is called, movies on TV on the big screen. Here we go. For anybody, what was the title of the big screen version of Get Smart, starring Don Adams?
Tim.
Jim.
Tim Powers.
The Nude Bomb.
The Nude Bomb is correct. Well done.
Nicely done. All
right, Tim, here's your follow-up. If you get it right, it gives you 4.5 points, putting you ahead of Mike Schmidt.
Point doesn't count.
Here we go. Name two actors who played Dr. Smith on the TV show and in the big screen version of Lost in Space. Tim Powers only.
All right.
I need an answer, Tim.
Yeah, I know. Jonathan Harris and an orangutan.
That is not correct. Mike Schmidt?
Jonathan Harris and Gary Oldman.
Jonathan Harris and Gary Oldman is correct, meaning that Mike Schmidt has 5 points and is the big winner.
An orangutan, Mr. Smith.
Disconnect them.
Oh, I see Mr. Smith and orangutan. Very good. All right. Well, you guys did pretty good. Dave, you did better than our – you and Tim did better than our last competitors. Tom did worse than last time.
I just want to point out, you guys remember me from college. You may recall, I grew up without a television.
I do remember that, so that's pretty good for a guy who
didn't everything have. I knew, I learned from textbooks or a reference book. And so that's how I knew out of the blue.
People magazine is not a textbook.
And yet, and yet you're not odd at all.
All right, Tim and Dave, thank you for calling in and joining us and having fun.
Sure, it was fun, right?
My pleasure.
Okay, tell all your friends. We'll talk to you guys later.
TheFandomPlanet.com.
I have nothing to pitch.
All right, that was awesome. Okay, let's talk about...
What did Mike win for doing that?
Huh?
Mike won something, right?
I don't know. He won the same thing Paul F. Tompkins won.
Now for salad?
Universal respect?
That's it. Let's talk about another show that got picked up that shouldn't have. Two Broke Girls. Now...
Well... Your definition of shouldn't have is that you didn't like it, but their definition of shouldn't have is that it's a huge hit, or should have is a huge hit.
Yes, but it defies all logic that it's a huge hit. Have either of you guys watched it,
Mike and Jill? No, but I saw Kat Dennings' webcam breast photos on internet, and she can have a job for the rest of her life, as far as I'm concerned.
I will say this. I was talking about it with Chip, and he said, you know, I could see Whitney Cummings as the dark-haired waitress, because that's her show that she created. But I said, yeah, but she's not going to fill out that waitress uniform the way Kat Dennings does. Because her boobs are incredible. And, I mean, yes, it's nice to watch the show and go, hey, I've seen those boobs. They're great. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't sustain me for a whole 30 minutes. Because other
not
people
on your age.
All the other people on the show are not funny. And I've
you
never
are as funny as a young Brad Pitt.
Maybe, but yeah.
I have never thought of Kat Dennings as a comedian. I mean, what?
You know what? You know that you're the only person who feels that way? Like, I mean, well, not really. I'm saying I don't either. But she was in Thor, and she was the funny, you know, side relief secretary.
Yes, but that's comparatively speaking.
She wasn't funny. I'm just saying they think for some reason that right. She's this irreverent wisecracker, and it's just like, no, I don't fucking see it. But.
Look at Nick. Did anybody but me see Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist?
No, sir.
She's terrible in that. She's not funny in that. She's not even the comic relief. She's the lead in that movie. You know, and she was on that Bob Saget show, Raising Dad. You guys remember that?
I remember it.
She's terrible.
She was in 40-Year-Old Virgin, right?
Right. And she wasn't funny in that. She was the serious part of the movie, if I remember correctly.
Yes, but for some reason she's transcended into now wisecracking, funny, hot chick.
And I don't understand why. Now, I did think she was funny when she was on Conan promoting Thor. Anybody see that?
Nope.
It was kind of funny, and she was referencing their Conan joke. And she was cute and funny, and I thought, she's got a good sense of humor. She's one of those chicks. She has a good sense of humor.
One of those chicks.
You know, she recognizes, we all know them being comedians.
Sure.
The women who find humor in things and think we're funny, but they themselves, not so much.
Hmm.
I think we might have all married one of those women.
I don't think that's true.
My wife's pretty funny.
Yeah, the three of us, I say yes. Your wife is the funniest.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
I had this revelation.
Especially the way she fucks other dudes. That's hilarious, right?
The way. Particularly, you should see it. As I myself have enjoyed it.
In a Zeppelin.
What? To Zeppelin?
She's in a Zeppelin.
Oh, I thought you said she does it to Zeppelin.
That wouldn't be funny at all.
No, I'm saying that'd be boring to me. I'm not a
what?
Fan. What? Not a fan of getting the lead out. Sorry.
You're not the king of Zeppelin?
No, and that's... Am I wearing a Zeppelin crown?
I wouldn't know what that looked like at all.
Am I wearing a Robert Plant wig?
Yes, actually. Oh, no, that's your hair. My fault.
So, the show, that and Whitney both got picked up for the full season.
I stepped on you. You were going to say something.
I don't know.
It's fine.
Week. Sorry. We'll go back to the car.
It's a good... the point is, it's a good year for Whitney Cummings.
That it is.
Apparently, yeah.
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 And
a tragedy for America. No, I'm teasing.
I don't know. That's the weird thing is, I mean, for the most part, you talk to people and they're like, yeah, I don't find her all that funny. But she seems to be a very nice person.
Real people, real, like, my wife loved it. My wife
she went to see a taping, right?
And went and saw her at the
Hollywood, whatever the fuck, the overnight, what's the AMPAS thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just did it when they were season premieres, they were talking about that, and she saw the whole panel of Whitney, and my wife liked her.
Here's the thing I will say about Whitney, and why I'm not as opposed to the show as I was a week ago when I watched an episode. Because first of all, I don't have to watch any of them, and exactly. I realize that. It's fine. But here's the other thing is I do a lot of stand-up, and I interact with a lot of stand-ups. And as you guys may be unaware, a lot of stand-ups, a surprisingly large amount of stand-ups, are fuckheads. Now, you guys might not know this, but a lot of stand-ups
not in
are
LA.
Shitbirds, like really funny ones too, are just also kind of fucknuts. And throughout the course of the week, it would be like do a show on Tuesday – and somebody had some funny thing to say about Whitney, and it was funny enough. Do a show on Wednesday. Somebody else had a...
Yeah.
So by the end of the week, I had a nice bit about people who say stupid things about Whitney, which was nice. But I'm like, you know what?
Of you.
Fucking shut up. It's a TV show. It's for people to enjoy and to be canceled and to stay on for a long time. Yeah, there are things that are so terrible that they kind of offend you. Like the Kardashians can offend you. Because you're like, what a fucking waste. Or like the Toddlers in Tierras. That's designed to offend you. Right. That's designed to be an affront to justice. But fucking Whitney, it's a pleasant woman, attractive enough, talented enough.
Yeah.
It's fine.
There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. It's just sad that the show is not better. I mean, it kind of goes back to what Mike was saying.
Maybe it'll get better.
They want to give certain shows a chance. Certain shows, they just want to pull the plug right away.
Well, we answered that question, though. They own a bigger piece of that show, right?
Yeah.
So the financial answer is they own a lot of Whitney. They put a lot of money into it. It made a better showing anyway.
You know, it's funny is you talked about the other day how your wife went to see a taping of Whitney, and she was there forever.
Yeah.
It was really long. Just coincidentally, the warm-up guy, Alan Murray, texted me the other day because he wanted to ask me a question. And I said, hey, a friend of mine went and saw a taping of Whitney and said you were very funny. And he was like, oh, was she there the day we were there till midnight? And I said, yes, she was, actually. But I don't know if she stayed till midnight. But,
well,
yeah.
She did.
And he was just like,
really?
He types back, oi, it was like a telethon. I was like, and I just thought, man.
But credit to him. My wife said they never got bored. Everybody was into it.
Yeah. That's why I said. She said you were great, and she had a great time. He's like, oh, well, tell her I said thanks. And as I got verification of that,
she wasn't paid to be there either, right?
No.
She even came home. My wife, she's, you know, she knows a little bit about Hollywood, but not a lot, really. But she knows some. And then she came home. And she goes, do you know that there are people who are paid to be in the audience for that show? I said, yeah, every show I've written on, that's all we've had, are those.
Yeah, all people, game shows, you know, and chat shows.
Literally,
and
just
stuff.
These, you know, they get $8 an hour to sit there and hate everything you do. That's why you sit there and you pray that they're going to come in and be nice because you want them to, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes Alan's job so hard at every warm up guy. So it's a thankless gig because you're fucking passing out Tootsie Rolls and having dance contests for people who don't even want to be in the goddamn room.
Yeah. Because
they think they're in the business.
Yeah, I remember Beat the Geeks. I once got heckled by the audience at Beat the Geeks.
Yes, sir.
Yelled shit at me.
I did.
And I wanted to go, hey, wait a minute. First of all, you're in the audience for a show. Why are you heckling it?
Second of all, I'm on that show.
And you're being paid to clap and cheer.
For me, who's on a fucking television show.
You're doing it the exact opposite of what you should do.
Yes.
In fact, you should be fired.
I did warm up for Style Court.
On E.
And then one day I came in, and what I did is I had my little jokes, and I had some trivia, and I had candy and whatever, and people were mostly perfectly nice.
Yeah.
And then one time I go, hey, guys, I'm starting to tell some jokes and just warm somebody up. And this fucking belligerent guy goes, ugh, you just tell jokes? Why don't you be real? He says. And I go,
here at Style Court.
And he's just this idiot, and I go, and I say, what? He goes, yeah, I mean, what are you doing, just fucking talking? And I'm like, well, I'm supposed to warm you up. And he goes, yeah, but I think we'd all just like you to be more real. And no one's backing him up. And so this is my retort to that. I go, hold on a second. security. Boom. Gone. Fuck you. Yeah.
That's so great.
You had no time for that bullshit.
I got real.
Because one lion acts up and the rest of the pride all of a sudden is like, hey, we can take this guy down. Yeah. Fuck that.
I got him the fuck out of there.
You want to be real, dude? You're getting paid to watch me entertain you before a television show. That's your job. You make $8 an hour. That's real. You want real, motherfucker?
And you know what's real? No longer $8 an hour. Gone. Bye, fucko.
Security.
Go to the bus stop and go home.
It made me so mad because that job was pleasant enough, but it's not like I was making...
And then when he was gone, you went, anyone else got some shit to say? Anyone else want to get real?
No.
Yeah, that's what I fucking thought. Here's some candy, assholes.
What I did, honestly, is I go, I had that guy kicked out by security, and they went,
because they understand the gig.
Most of the people do understand it. It's the jackholes who don't.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Or the ones who are like, you guy could be on the show?
Of course you could.
Sure, that's how TV works. Just show up. Well, the other show I want to talk about is American Horror Story. Now, I know Tom watched it. Did you guys happen to see it on
FX?
Unfortunately,
no.
No? Well, here's what I thought of the show.
I have conflicting reports about this show.
Yes. And I read a review, Matt Rausch's review, and he basically said, the show's disturbing and it's scary. It's just not very good. And I watched it, and I had to concur. Mm. It is disturbing. It is weird and scary and freaky. But it's just, some of it seems like horseshit to
me. Goebel and Rausch on the same page.
Usually we are, not always.
I kind of want to watch it now because I don't understand how a show could be disturbing and creepy, which is what it's supposed to be, and also not good. That seems odd to me.
Well, I'll give you an example of what's disturbing. They buy this house that clearly, you know, we all know it's a haunted house. That's the name of the show, American Horror Story. They move in, and the woman says,
a different name.
That's even close.
By the way, she says, full disclosure, the guys who lived here before you killed, there was a murder-suicide. They both died. And they're like, oh, really? And she goes, yeah, it's two gay guys, murder-suicide. She's like, oh, okay, that's weird. But she doesn't tell them about all the murders that happened.
You're so homophobic,
years and years ago.
Disturbed by the gays.
Turned it off.
Yeah.
Turned it off and called my boyfriend.
I would think you would leave it on because you're happy they're dead.
Well, I don't want to see them coming up as ghosts.
Oh, what are you doing here? Those shoes.
You like that, Jim? That's what a gay ghost does. Oh, I can't believe you won.
Brad Pitt gives that a thumbs up.
Excellent.
Is Carson Kressley one of these ghosts?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It's spooky eye for the straight guy. So as they're going through the house or whatever, they go up in the attic and there's like one of those full body rubber suits, you know, with a zipper in the mouth. A gimp suit, exactly, is what it is. And they're like, what? A gay guy's left his behind. This is some crazy shit. And then Dylan McDermott.
And they throw it away immediately, yes?
Yes. Oh. Dylan McDermott grabs it and throws it away.
Okay, good. Yes. All right, good. I hope so.
However,
what?
Later on, after they have sex in the scene, it's a big deal because he cheated on her and she had a miscarriage and their marriage is tenuous at best. They're trying to start over. Eventually, it comes ahead and they have a big argument and they go ahead and they have sex. And they're like, well, that's great. We're connecting. Well, then she is in the bedroom, like just got out of the shower, and someone in the gimp suit shows up in the doorway and she assumes it's him. And she's like, oh, I thought you threw that thing out. Well, of course we know he did throw it out. We saw him do it. And she's like, oh, you look ridiculous. And he's just standing there. She goes, what, you want to go for round two? And she lays down on the bed, and the person in the gimp suit comes over and fucks her. And it's very disturbing because we know that ain't Dylan McDermott. We don't know who it is, but it ain't Dylan McDermott.
But wouldn't she know? I mean...
Well, that's the thing is, as he's fucking her, she gets a look on her face like, this isn't right. There's something off here. But that's not the first thing you say is, oh, I'm being fucked by a ghost, I don't think is the first thing that comes to your mind. So it's kind of odd and a little disturbing, but it's like shit like that happens that you go, wow, that is weird. That makes me feel uneasy.
Sounds like these ghosts were a little bisexual instead of gay.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there's certain writing in the show that is just unbelievable. And, you know, at one point, Dylan McDermott walks in on... they get a maid. It's Frances Conroy is the maid, the chick from 6 Feet Under, mm-hmm. old lady. And she's a weirdo already. But then Dylan McDermott walks in and looks at her, and she doesn't look like Frances Conroy. She looks like this super hot chick wearing, you know, thigh-high stockings and dyed red hair. And she's crazy hot. And Dylan McDermott's like, you really want to hire her? And Connie Britton says, sure, why wouldn't I? They see her differently. So then later on in the day, he walks in on her masturbating. At one point, he walks in a room and she's sitting on his couch rubbing herself. He's like, oh, damn it. And then he immediately has to run to the next room and masturbate his own self onto a drafting table for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right? So he jerks off onto standing up onto a drafting table. And then right after he ejaculates, he cries. He starts crying.
And then he tells her to come in and clean it up.
I wish. But I think this... I don't know what the point of all this is.
Jizz into a nice townhouse.
It's like if the show was just supposed to be a mishmash of crazy shit to make you feel uncomfortable, well, then it succeeded. But the problem is beyond that, I don't know what the point of all that crazy shit is. That could have
been a fantastic comedy is what it should have been because he walks
like in. Like laughing?
Yes. Well, that's, yeah. The fucking gimp pops through the door. No, just like.
He him. Opens the door and Joanne Wearley unzips the mouth. He says something funny. She zips it back up.
Just the idea he walks in and she's masturbating and then the wife walks in and sees the old lady jerking off. That's kind of funny.
I like it.
That's not good.
Now, are you angry that this show is a mishmash of making people feel uncomfortable? Are you mad that they took that from you and this podcast?
Yes. They clearly stole my idea of entertainment in general. What did you think of it, Tom?
I pretty much agree with you. I mean, there are hints here and there that there is a story underneath all this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that it's a Ryan Murphy show, right?
And
he's not known for coherent storytelling. So
the
fear is that none of this is going to add up, going to end up adding up to anything.
Not anytime soon, at least. I mean, hopefully, eventually. Like, there's also another character, this dude, he's got burns all over his body, and he's, like, stalking Dylan McDermott. Finally, McDermott turns around and says, what the fuck, who are you? And he says, yeah, I used to live in that house, and I burned it up and killed my wife and daughter. You need to get out of there right away. I just got out of prison, and they released me because I have cancer. And he's like, I don't know who the fuck you are. But then as Dylan McDermott's walking away, the guy like has this creepy grin on his face. So he's got some kind of weird motive.
But doesn't this just exhaust you?
It's only been one episode.
It's only been one episode. And aren't you like, enough red herrings, enough of this, you know, laying the ground. It's like shows that have a lot of exposition, you know what I mean? And it's like, all right, I get that. You're trying to lay the groundwork in the pilot for what's going to come. But all of this... just weirdness for weirdness sake, then don't you just go, eventually by the fourth episode, you know none of it's going to pay off.
Well, see,
it's going to get weirder and weirder.
The thing is, I mean, you're right. Very likely by the fourth episode, I'll go, all right, enough. But as the king of TV, I see a show like this, and I hope, with my fingers crossed, with all my heart, that it will turn out to be crazy super awesome. Yeah. That at some point it will all make sense. And I'll go, oh my God, I was witness to such a great thing.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want to be the guy who misses that, certainly. And also, I want it to make sense. You know, like Nip Tuck, also created by Ryan Murphy, his first show for FX, was a great show. I thought it was brilliant, brilliantly done, made a great statement about, you know, beauty and plastic surgery and the way people see themselves. And
season with the... stalker who was knocking people out.
Yeah, the carver was
that was great.
Beautiful people. Yeah, the whole idea. And then he would have stories that mirrored, like the story about where Melissa Gilbert was on, and she went in because her dog took a big chunk out of her boob, and it turned out she was smearing peanut butter on her boobs and having her dog lick it off, and that's how it happened. And her husband comes in and divorces her because he said no more. Shit like that. It mirrors real life stuff that you hear about. What do they call it?
When did you hear about that? When did you hear that?
That's an urban legend. You never heard that story? Woman comes home from work.
Real life urban legends. Okay.
Yeah, woman comes home from work, and she, every day, usually when she gets home from work, she smears peanut butter on her boobs and has her dog lick it off. So she gets home from work, and she immediately goes to the cupboard, puts the peanut butter on. She's like, you know, Willie, come here. Willie, where are you? She can hear him. But she's like, where are you? She eventually tracks him down. He's behind a door, like, for the cellar. She's like, how'd you get in there? She opens it up. Surprise! A million people are there. And, of course, she's standing there topless with peanut butter all over her boobs. Deet, 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 deet. That's the urban legend. So they would have a lot of that shit on there. And I thought that was...
one of the party guests bit her boob off?
No, they took, that's where they jumped off.
Oh,
biting the boob.
They took a license with the nonsense.
Yes.
So I thought that was a great show. So I'm hoping, you know, whereas Glee is clearly a, you know, a show for, it's ostensibly a show for kids and teens, and it's pretty safe, even though it has, maybe it has some cutting edge stuff on it. It's still a pretty safe show. I was hoping American Horror Story would be more like Nip Tuck. It would be a little more crazy, and it is, but I still wanted to tell me a story and have interesting characters. I don't. That's another problem I has. I love Connie Britton, Dylan McDermott. Yeah, I'm lukewarm on, and Vera Farmiga's sister. But that's who that chick is who plays the daughter. She's Vera Farmiga's sister. She looks just like her. I thought she was terrible.
You thought she was terrible?
Yes.
I thought she was good.
I didn't like her. One thing I did like though, she goes to school the first day of school, and then she gets in a fight with that chick, and I thought, oh, she seemed a little extra violent for no reason. Turns out she's a cokehead. Like a huge cokehead. And I went, okay, well, that makes sense.
The daughter is?
No, the chick she got in a fight with.
Ah.
Because then she tells her, look, you don't want to fight with me because I can get you coke. I have the best stuff. Come to my house tomorrow. And the girl immediately, no questions asked, shows up and wants coke. And then they take her down in the cellar and shit gets crazy.
Surprise party?
Yep. She's like
standing there with the peanut butter
all over her boobs. And then she's like, oh, this is chunky.
Yeah, that was the problem.
It was chunky, and she likes the smooth. She doesn't like that crunchy shit. All right, well, that's all I have to talk about. Anyone else got to talk?
I gave you my story.
You don't have another awesome story about some crazy shit?
Nope.
I wanted to complain for a moment about the state of streaming TV online and how it's getting worse and worse.
Listen up, Hollywood.
The networks are, like, regressing. Because Sons of Anarchy, now not online at all.
In no form, not even like past gone. Seasons.
Yes. Well, maybe if you've got Hulu Plus or something, but like, they're not streaming new episodes anymore.
Right.
And apparently they just made that decision in like the past week, because Hulu kept telling me, oh, it's going to be up soon. It's going to be up after 30 days. And I went back to see, nope, gone completely.
Hmm.
USA used to show stuff like a week later or like next day, and then it became like a week later, and then now it's like a month later.
Hmm.
Now Fox... Not street. Now Fox is on Fox, the actual broadcast network. Now they're on an 8-day delay.
Why do you think this is?
Unless you're a Dish Network subscriber.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, clearly that's the way people are getting their TV these days, is through a satellite or UVerse or whatever, and that's where the money is. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense, especially when certain shows are exclusive, like Friday Night Lights or Damages. Would you ever, let me ask you guys all this, is there ever a chance that you would buy, like, switch from your current provider to a specific provider if they had a specific show or specific offerings? Like, I know, Mike, you have DirecTV?
I do.
And I seem to remember the reason you went with DirecTV is because of their good football offerings. They have the best baseball, sports football, package.
Yes.
Overall.
Yes.
So if there was a company came out and said, we have better sports, and you looked into it and it turned out they were right, would you switch or would you still stay with DirecTV?
I have never had a problem with DirecTV. I love them. Mm-hmm. And I'm so used to them. And I think they crush cable. I think, whenever I needed them, they were there. I pay, $6 a month for some, service contract.
Yeah.
And if anything's wrong, you call them and they come out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And also, I will tell you this. We live here where there's no weather. So I never have it go offline. I mean, the satellite never gets bumped. There's never a problem with the picture.
Yeah.
If you're in the Midwest, I'm sure that's much more of an issue. No, I would never switch. There's no way anybody could have a better sports package unless they gave it to me free.
Uh-huh.
It's because, DirecTV has every football game, every baseball game, every hockey game. You just got to pay a certain amount. There's a premium, obviously.
Right.
Which is fine. If that's what you want, you pay for it.
Right.
The only way that another place could top that is if they offered you all of those things for free, which they never will. So, no, right. I would never switch.
See, now, I have UVerse, and the reason I have UVerse is because I can record 4 channels at once, which is obviously very handy for me. I can record 2 of those in HD.
I will say I'm the one, because I have TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And DirecTV is not happy about that. So I can't record in HD. I can't, because I like TiVo. I like how they do it.
And yeah.
DirecTV wants me to get their DVR.
Right.
So, again, I can't record in HD. I can't record multiple channels. I can't record, I can't do any of that. I have to basically record, and then my TV's tied up with that show.
Right, yeah.
Which is a drag, mm-hmm. But...
That's how mine used to be, yeah.
DirecTV will not allow TiVo's HD, because TiVo has an HD TiVo,
mm-hmm.
but it's incompatible with DirecTV because they don't want it. They want you to get their own.
Of course, yeah. See, with me, I can do the 4 channels at one time. Plus, I have that in every room. Plus, I can watch one thing in one room, go to the next room, and continue watching it
right
from where I stopped, you know, and they're all hooked up. I don't need, like, whereas a TiVo, you know, it's all in the box. If you have it, you got to move the box to another room, you know. That,
so also, they used to do a thing, or DirecTV, if you have their DVR and you buy a pay-per-view movie, it disappears in a day.
Yeah.
And I
Uverse like, does that too.
And I'm like, dude, that's fucked. I paid for it.
Right.
Why the fuck can't I have it?
You should own it forever.
Right. So I have DirecTV pay-per-view and I have TiVo. So we bought, Karen wanted 4 Christmases or something like that last, during Christmas season. So I bought that and we just, it was like, whatever. And, Karen, I played it to make sure it had TiVo, just
right.
to see, you know, because it's got to switch the channels automatically, and I just wanted to make sure it was there. So it was, and then 2 days later, it was gone. It disappeared off my TiVo.
Yeah.
And I called them, and I'm like, hey, I asked Karen if she'd erased it. No, and I called them. They go, oh, yes, once you hit play, you have 2 days to watch the film. And I thought it was only with the DirecTV DVR, because I didn't think they fucked with my TiVo. Because that was another reason I was happy to keep
it. It like self-destructs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fucking outrageous. I mean, I paid for it. Let me fucking keep it. It's stupid.
I agree. You should, yeah. And Uverse does the same thing. The one downside, the main major downside for Uverse is, unlike DirecTV, there's no Uverse company. It's all run by AT&T, the phone company.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong, they basically call a licensed, like AAA or somebody to come out to your house. And we've had problems where it was like, you know, there's something wrong with our cable. Come out. And they call and go, okay, someone will be there today between 8 and 5. Finally, they don't show up. And I go, fuck it. And we leave. And then I get a call. Hi, I'm at your house. It's 6:30. I'm like, dick, yeah. Come back tomorrow. And then we get there. And then another guy shows up at 9. And it's really fucking irritating. It's like when eventually the guy shows up, he goes, yeah, I'm sorry. They just call us and they're really bad with customer service. But he doesn't work for AT&T. He works for another company.
Yes.
And so that's not the best thing. But that's what I got.
Now, Tom or Jim, can you throw something funny in here to save the listener? Because Jesus Christ, it's been awful.
Well, Tom has no cable.
Or I have no cable.
Private provider whatsoever.
I so lost interest a while ago.
But what do you have?
I just tuned down.
You've been in your car.
Yeah, I have.
What do you have? Just regular
Time Warner cable. And I am perfectly happy with it. I don't necessarily watch a lot of sports. I like to watch basketball, and this year that's not going to be an issue. So,
and do you have HBO?
No.
You don't? What happened? Do you have regular BS?
Yes, regular
BS. Oh, okay. Well, congratulations.
The things I like are on channels that I get with regular old cable.
True.
Anyway, the point I wanted to make was, for a while, the networks were being very progressive about trying to get their shows out there in more venues, and they seemed like they were trying not to make the mistakes that the music industry made. And lately, it's getting more and more restrictive. There's less content being made available.
Jesus fucking Christ, the distance between the point you raised and these jackasses. My God, it's not on you. You're doing fine. These fucking idiots. So.
Yeah.
Well, we were actually talking about TV, so I think we were actually kind of on point.
Right. We were just saying the mistakes that the cable companies are making.
You were in his corner. You were trying to help him out, and he just, like, shunned you. How terrible was that? Tommy, he was there for you.
Was
he?
Yes.
He's busy defending us. Well, I think you're right, because it's now the different providers are getting so competitive that that's what's happening. They're saying, well, we're not going to show our shows online. You got to get DirecTV if you want to see it. Like, I would love to see the last season of Damages, but it probably will never happen because I don't have DirecTV. I don't know that they're going to show it anywhere else.
Oh, by the way, Hulu Plus, not that great.
Really?
Yeah. Our friend Scott Yarbrough got it. It's not that different from Hulu.
Just that you have to pay for it?
Yeah, there's a few.
So many of their shows, when you watch them too, like specifically say, we don't have the license to show this on TV and mobile devices. What? So that's the whole point of getting Hulu Plus, right?
Yep. Yeah. Speaking of getting things, I got the DVD of that South Park documentary, 6 Days to Air. So if you win and you like that as a prize, you have that as an option. It's very interesting.
Did you see the Spider-Man porn?
No.
Isn't that your deal? Like you keep.
Yeah, watching? But I haven't got... Well, I get them free from Hustler. Oh, I got to tell you, thanks for reminding me, the new one I got, it's all commercials. They basically do parodies of commercials. They do Subway, Progressive Insurance, Dos Equis.
Progressive Insurance with like Flo?
Flo, yes. Oh. Dos Equis, the most interesting man in the world, and a couple others. But the best thing is on the back it has, freecreditreport.com is another major. But the best is they show them on the end and it's like, on the back, and it's clear what they're parodying, and they call it what it is. Like for Subway, it's called the, you know, $5 foot schlong. No. And then it says in a quote from one of the women's, the foot long is in my mouth or whatever. And then they have the most interesting man in the world. And he's saying, I don't always get blowjobs. And then they show Flo from Progressive Insurance. And she's saying, I'm much less annoying with a dick in my mouth. I'm quoting here. Jesus. But the best part is, then it's the freecreditreport.com. And they show a woman saying, give me your cock. Right? That hilarious parody of the free... Remember how they always say something like that on the freecreditreport.com ones? I haven't watched it yet. I have a date to watch it tomorrow.
That's ruined the porn industry, right? The parody?
I think it's made it great.
They think so too, but I think it's ruined it.
I don't know. It's made me watch more porns. I watched the Batman one. I hear there's a better Batman one, like not the Batman TV show. It's like Batman and the Joker, Arkham Asylum, The Dark Knight, Batman one that won a bunch of porn awards. And now that guy like is making idea. Superman.
Didn't they do a Justice League one?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
I say bring them on. I will say this. I'm sure it has increased sales in pornography. I'm sure more people are watching because, I mean, if you want just naked women and sex and whatever, you get that, you know, in an instant on the internet. Who cares? It's all the same. But if you want something interesting to watch, a guy in a Spider-Man suit and something kind of funny.
Not interesting at all.
Not even close.
No. Terrible.
What if it was The Adventures of Mike Schmidt from the Philadelphia Phillies? And it was, or they called him Mike Shit. And he was a dude who was going around banging women and hitting home runs. You wouldn't be interested in that?
Would you be?
But I'm not a football fan either.
It doesn't matter. I liked him when he played baseball. You're talking about high school or Hall of Fame pitcher Mike Schmidt? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes.
What if you saw a porn parody and it was the Super Bowl fuckle?
Oh, Jesus, right? I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure that shit is.
Right? The Super Bowl fuckle. That's what they said. That's where they went.
Yeah.
Not the Super Ball Shuffle.
Nope, they went Super Bowl Fuckle.
Yeah. And how does the song go?
We are the Bears fucking crew. Doing it right, we're fucking you. I just came here to give you AIDS.
Wait, who's that?
That's the guy who's going to ring you back your bell instead.
Oh, and not ring your bell because that guy was gay.
Who was the guy
who did that? Ring your bell.
That was Jim McMahon.
No. Was it?
I don't ring your bell. I don't think that's a lyric.
Come on, everybody, let me ring your bell. Yeah,
that's definitely a lyric in the song.
Gary Fenton.
Okay,
might be. He's a white guy.
It's definitely a white guy. Sure, yeah. I'm the big QB known as McMahon. I remember that.
He takes the field. He's got no plan.
There you go. But he didn't ring.
He just throws the ball all over the field. He can't dance, but he can throw the pill.
I also want to say this. I meant to say it last week when Tyler and David were here. I have since started watching The Good Wife, and it's a very good show. I was wrong when I said it was a shitty show. I clearly made a judgment about the show before I watched enough episodes. I don't know why I thought it was so bad. I watched the first episode again, and I didn't even recognize it. And I have since watched the first season, and I'm halfway through the second season.
So have you changed it in your act, too? Or The Good Wife? Don't you mean The Good Show?
That's what I say, yes. Funny thing is, if you watch the show, every once in a while they'll say, he's a good son, or he's a good husband. And it makes me laugh, because I'm like, that's a whole different show. But I want to be on board as saying, yes, I was wrong. Much like Gene Siskel said that he was wrong when he saw, I think it was Oscar, and said it was terrible, then went and rewatched it and said, I was wrong. It's a funny movie. I will say I was wrong that I said The Good Wife sucks. It was actually a very good show. So I understand why people like it now. All right. Anybody else want to come clean on any shit they said was bad and now they realize it's good or vice versa?
Yeah, I remember a couple of weeks ago I said pizza's terrible. I said pizza's terrible.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like it. And I just came out and said it. Nobody should like pizza. Look, I tried a piece of pizza. It's fucking good.
It is really good. Yeah.
So you're on board now.
I don't know what I was eating.
Right?
Yeah. I got a piece of pizza. I didn't even recognize it.
So you like the good pizza. That's what you enjoy.
Yeah, and that's what I say in my act, because much like Paul, I've got this insanely weird act where I just say shit like that.
Yeah, because that's what people say when they see my act. Man, you are weird.
They do.
I'm like another Bobcat Goldthwait, right? I'm just weird. My act is out there. It is crazy.
Well, you are kind of fat and annoying.
Wow. Hey, man, that's not cool.
Yeah, you're right. Bobcat's cool.
All right. Let's wrap it up and send it home. Jim, you got a mashup for us.
I'm going to make an effort. Robert.
The reason Mike shows up.
Robert Lemon, fan of the show. I'm going to try your mashup. Here we go. All right.
Yo, guys. Thanks for coming here to see the first cut of my film. You know, I relaunched Rocky, and that was a big hit. Obviously, people want to see... Thank you. They want to see the classic franchises. So I brought back one of my other classic franchises. But this time I just decided to produce and direct this one. So, all right, Bobby, go ahead and roll that.
So, Liz and Theo, you and I are going to have to climb the cliff. And we're going to have to defuse the bomb. Because there's a problem. Rudy, I can't believe that Rudy went evil. Rudy became evil, and now we have to get on this mountain and defuse the bomb that's over there with the big and the bomb.
You love this.
Okay, so
I fucking love it.
So Rudy, what did? Stop with putting the bomb and the blowing and the flinging and the flinging. And I can't believe that you killed my wife, Camille. Whatever. It's not Camille. That's his real wife, right?
Claire.
Claire, I can't believe that you killed Claire. No.
I could watch that forever. That is great. Man. Now I understand why everyone loves Mike Cosby so much.
That's a
fun impression. Mike, you got a guess?
Is it the Expend-a-Huxtables?
No, it's not that. I know what it is. It's a Sylvester Stallone movie that took place on a mountain.
Well, that's Cliffhanger, but...
And who is he?
Cosby Hanger?
No. His character on that show?
Cliff Huxtable. So that's Cliff Huxtable Hanger?
Yes. It's
Cliffhanger Huxtable.
Right. It's Sly Stallone's... Cliffhanger Huxtable. So it was obviously produced by Sly Stallone.
Yeah, it's a terrible name for sure. Yes.
Oh, no, but it's from a fan, and I had to finally do it because he was kind enough to write me.
It's so much worse than what Jim usually does.
Yes, that's the... Well, the amazing thing is, yes, it's a terrible name, but great impression.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Brilliant performance. Yeah. And
In my head, I'm like, well, that's Cliffhanger. In my brain, but I'm like, but that has nothing to do with the Huxtables. And then I went, Expend-a-Huxtables? And I went, that's fucking genius. That's it. If that's the name, it's awesome. Yeah. Even though it had nothing to do with the Expendables.
That's pretty funny, yeah, the Expend-a-Huxtables. But, of course, you know, his version of the Expend-a-Huxtables would be, hey, Bruce Willis is at the beginning of this movie, and look at me with the gun. I'm shooting it. Anybody got it? That's what that would be.
Oh, I would. That's a good one. And you know what? Now I know you're wrong. If that's what I'm doing, I'm great. If I'm doing that every week.
Hey, everybody, look, I am the wrestler from this movie. I'm in it, shooting a gun. Claire! That's what that would be.
Spangy wrestler?
All right. That is the show. Thank you, Mike, for showing up. In case there are people who still have not heard what you do and what you're about, why don't you tell people where they can get you?
Folks, you can find the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast on iTunes. You can come to MikeSchmidtComedy.com. You can find me at Facebook.com/The40YearOldBoy and follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/The40YearOldBoy.
And where are you appearing next? You may have already said it, but say it again.
At the end of this month, I will be in the Heart of the Beast Theater at the Avalon in Minneapolis. That's on Friday, October 28th. And then the week after that, I'll be at Stage 773 in Chicago. That's bringing the Success Is Not an Option tour to both of those towns. Tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com. Search the 40-Year-Old Boy or search Mike Schmidt at brownpapertickets.com.
So while you're in Minneapolis, you can visit the Mary Tyler Moore statue.
I'm hoping to throw my hat in the air.
And when you're in Chicago, you can visit the Bob Newhart statue.
I am hoping to punch Suzanne Plachette in the face.
Or in every episode.
Chicago, for some reason, the weirdest Marilyn Monroe. Have you heard about this?
Uh-uh.
They put up this Marilyn Monroe statue, and it's a very tacky looking statue of the iconic statue pose from
Bus Stop.
Yeah, where she's, which takes place in New York.
It wasn't in Bus Stop.
No, it's.
I'm sorry, I'm being stupid.
But
over the subway grid.
It's the
subway,
7 year itch. That's
7 year itch. And as everybody's pointing out,
because maybe laugh.
Everybody points out that doesn't take place in Chicago.
Yeah, it's not even in Chicago.
No,
what's the point?
No, well, if you're going to make a statue of Marilyn Monroe, isn't that the statue you make of her doing that?
Yes, but who needs a statue of Marilyn Monroe? Jesus Christ.
That's what we should be asking,
hey,
yes.
Let's put up a statue of a whore.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Well, Mike Schmidt on board. All right. Well, that is the end of the show. Marilyn Monroe, go fuck them.
You're not ready for the world outside. You keep pretending, but you just can't hide. I know I said that I'd be standing by your side, but your path's unbeaten and it's all uphill, and you can meet it, but you never will. And I'm the reason that you're standing still, but I wish I could say the right words to lead you through this land. Wish I could play the father and take you by the hand. Wish I could stay, but now I understand I'm standing in the way. The cries around you, you don't hear at all, 'cause you know I'm here to take that call. So you just lie there when you should be standing tall. But I wish I could lay your arms down and let you rest at last. Wish I could slay your demons, but now that time has passed. Wish I could stay. You're stalwart, standing fast, but I'm standing in the way. I'm just standing.